This podcast is designed to help you understand the laws of our land. I am your host, Hattie Savari, and here to help you every step of the way, whether you are a tenant, landlord, parent, child, employee, employer, neighbour or business owner, and we are all most certainly consumers. The law is in your life every single day with over 180 episodes and 5 million downloads. Get ready to listen and empower yourself with tons of jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello and welcome back to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be about online harassment and trolling. I am joined by specialist barrister Melissa Stock from Normanton Chambers in London. Melissa specialises in data protection, GDPR and privacy law, and she is certified by the International Association of Privacy Professionals in European Data Law. She advises and represents individuals, companies, public bodies and non-governmental organisations in all areas of privacy and data protection. And in November 2020, Melissa published a book called The Right to be Forgotten, The Law and Practical Issues. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure. So online harassment and trolling, I think there isn't a person on the planet that hasn't heard about somebody or been a victim to online harassment, bullying or trolling. And online harassment and trolling, also known as cyberbullying or internet bullying, is an antisocial act causing personal distress, which involves sending abusive and hurtful comments. And it's a form of abuse. Online harassment and trolling is illegal in England and Wales, and it causes a vast amount of problems, obviously, you know, apart from the obvious, including inflicting harm on victims who are targeted, creating a sense of fear and exclusion amongst communities, eroding trust in the platforms that host these people, toxifying public discourse, and much more. I tell you what was really shocking for me to read, Melissa, was that The Independent reported that a quarter of British adults have experienced cyberbullying, and almost half of those who have experienced cyberbullying have failed to report the incident to the police or to the platform. I mean, I think that the basic problem is that technology is developing so much faster than the speed at which society has built new rules to be able to deal with the changes it creates. And as a result, we do not yet have a shared understanding of what is acceptable and isn't acceptable online. Can we talk about what options are available to people who are being harassed or bullied online, please?
There are various options available to someone who's being harassed online. Which option is pursued will very much depend on the form of the harassment. For example, is this content that is appearing on a social media platform such as Facebook or Instagram or Twitter? Is it content that is on a blog or a website? Is the content something of a particular seriousness, such as revenge pornography? Or is there someone who is targeting you by creating websites in your name? Now, the first option would be to make a complaint to the police. For content such as revenge pornography, disclosing such material without consent, intending to cause harm, is a criminal offence under the Criminal Justice and Courts Act 2015. There are also other criminal charges that could be brought. It is a crime to send threatening, obscene, or grossly offensive messages that are intended to cause distress or anxiety under the Malicious Communications Act and the Communications Act 2003. And there is also the Protection from Harassment Act 1997, which creates a criminal offence and a civil cause of action. The Act prevents a person from carrying out a course of conduct that amounts to harassment, providing that the person knows or ought to know that the conduct amounts to harassment. Now, harassment itself is not fully defined in the Act, but the Act was introduced to stop serious behaviour such as stalking, racial abuse, and other antisocial acts. And it includes verbal attacks, physical acts, and online activity. It requires at least two harassing acts before it is actionable, but usually only succeeds where there are many incidents. So if criminal proceedings are initiated and succeed, then the harasser could face a term of imprisonment under the Criminal Offence of Harassment and a restraining order.
So let me just get this into perspective. If somebody reports these acts to the police, then it's up to the police to take criminal to make charges, obviously bring charges against the person that's conducted these horrible acts. But we talk about all these acts, and you know, the Public Order Act 1986 and the Crime and Disorder Act 1998 and the Criminal Justice Act, which they're a part of, 2003. And then you've got the Online Harassment Act, Malicious Communication Act 1998, and all sorts. But these have not actually been successful in protecting people, because what I hear, and I've heard this from people that I know, where they you know, have been victims of online harassment and abuse, is you report it to the police and nothing gets done. Police don't do much, or they say they're investigating, it goes on and on and on, whilst the perpetrator is still at large, still out there. And you know, as we know, because the statistics show us, so many children, teenagers are victims to online bullying and harassment. So what, you know, even people with disabilities, apparently, according to the Alan Turing Institute, they've stated that people with disabilities observe more online abuse than people without disabilities. I mean, it's a cruel, cruel, cruel thing. So what can people do? What do people do if they are a victim to any form of online abuse, bullying, harassment?
There are different options. I mean, first of all, it very much depends on the nature of the harassment. So there is a distinction in the law between a behaviour that is unattractive or unreasonable and behaviour that is oppressive or unacceptable. Now, the conduct has to be sufficiently serious that it may sustain criminal liability, even if the police are not involved. And the problem for the police is, first of all, they're just overwhelmed by the number of cases that they have to deal with in other crimes, let alone stuff that's happening on the internet. And they lack the resources really to fully investigate, you know, where this content is coming from. And also there is a high evidential burden in criminal proceedings. The CPS has to prove their case on the standard of beyond reasonable doubt, whereas in civil proceedings, it is on the balance of probabilities, that is more likely than not that the person is harassing the victim. And the CPS will also be reluctant to prosecute where the person posting or sending the information defends their behaviour on the basis of freedom of speech. If freedom of speech be a likely issue in a case, then criminal proceedings may be seen as unsuitable. So the content has to be more than just offensive, shocking or disturbing to reach a criminal threshold. If it is content that is distasteful or involves unpopular opinion, then freedom of speech issues may be at play. But the content does have to be capable of protection under Article 10, and that is very much dependent on the facts. And so the problem for the police is that where you have this finely, you know, balanced argument between behaviour on one hand and freedom of speech on the other, they're not really well suited to making those kinds of assessments. So aside from bringing criminal proceedings or reporting to the police and asking them to initiate proceedings, there are three main options. The first is, if it is material on social media, you can contact the platform via their takedown reporting procedures. The second is you could possibly make a delisting request to Google. And the third is that you could initiate civil proceedings.
When we say, Melissa, let me just ask you, when we say delisting request on Google, what are we asking for them to take been posted?
Yes, I mean, it's if I start perhaps with civil proceedings, then we go on to takedown and delisting. It sort of flows in a way that people can sort of understand, you know, why civil proceedings are not always pursued, and then go on to the sort of sometimes easier options. So if you decide, if you want to bring civil proceedings, and there are reasons why you would do this, the type of proceedings will depend on the type of content and what harm it is causing the person and what remedies they are seeking. And sometimes reporting to the platforms or asking for a delisting doesn't necessarily address the actual problem. And it is usual for claimants to bring a number of causes of action together. So you could bring proceedings in harassment, but also there may be other overlapping causes of action, such as defamation, malicious falsehood, breach of confidence, misuse of private information, and data protection. What you have to prove to the court and what remedies you will receive vary depending on what course of action you pursue. Now, one point that may determine which type of claim you bring is the fact that you can bring harassment proceedings in the county court. But if you add some of the other causes of action that I just mentioned, you may have to issue your claim in the High Court, which is, of course, much more expensive. Now, harassment that is only being actioned through publication, so where it is going online and postings or on the internet, must be issued in the specialist media and communications list in the Queen's Bench Division, where usually a specialist judge will be allocated to the case. Very unlikely that you can bring a case in harassment for online publications in the county court. How a harassment claim is defended is different to how privacy claims and defamation claims are defended. So in harassment, it isn't a defence to a claim to show that the information published is already in the public domain. It is irrelevant whether the facts published are true or whether any opinions are expressed or reasonably held.
But that's quite important. That's quite important. So hold on a moment there. What we're saying is in a harassment claim, if someone says, well, it's already out there, I'm just rehashing it. I'm just saying what's already out there. Or actually, it's true. What I'm saying is true. They are not forms of defence.
Not under harassment. This is why harassment can be a better cause of action than other types of privacy claims.
That's interesting.
There are a number of defences to a claim in harassment, however. If the person can show that the conduct was for the purposes of preventing or detecting crime, a claim will not succeed. But most commonly, defendants rely on the defence that the conduct was reasonable in the circumstances.
Yeah, but hold on. I'm talking about here offensive, abusive harassment online. So for someone to stand up in court and say it was necessary, you know, for me to say these things or relevant, it's, you know, I would find that argument that just would not stack up against the kind of abuse and online harassment that I'm talking about. That's offensive, that's upsetting, that's distressing, it's causing emotional harm to somebody. Because obviously, you know, I can totally understand that people will make comments perhaps on a certain event or about a certain person in a certain circumstance that could be upsetting to that person, but they're talking about the circumstance surrounding it generally. I'm talking about directed harassment and nasty, horrid comments, which, you know, top down from celebrities to members of the royal family to everyday people, you know, this happens to a lot of people. And that's the level of online harassment and bullying, which is a massive issue online, as I mentioned earlier, for teenagers, that we're trying to talk about, where people can look at what remedies are available. And we're talking about civil proceedings and we're talking about criminal proceedings. But can somebody bring civil and criminal proceedings at the same time? And what happens with that? Are they joined together?
It is rare. Now, just to touch on what you were saying, you're right. But in the protection of harassment, unpleasant behaviour isn't enough. It has to be objectively oppressive and unacceptable. So even if the content is particularly awful, there have been cases where the court will not just look at the content, but the way it's being sent to you. It's not a straightforward cause of action as people may think. And it does, you know, it can fail regularly. You can have cases where people are sending hundreds of emails and they still don't succeed.
That's crazy, Melissa.
The courts, it's a difficult problem. Where people are relying on freedom of speech, it is a very nuanced approach. And of course, if it is just postings online, then you can't bring it in the county court. The county court will look at it if you've got other things. Let's say the person's also, you know, making phone calls to you, sending emails to you, turning up places, and also posting online. Then, you know, it can be brought to the county court. And as long as it's not too complicated or you're not asking for too much money, usually you just want an injunction, the county court can hear it, but they might transfer it to the High Court, and that's always the risk with online content. You know, it costs a lot to bring cases to the High Court, even if you get representation on a CFA. If you lose, you still have to pay the defendant's costs. So it's not an easy option. Now, that's why, you know, often you want the police to bring the proceedings so that, you know, they can pursue it, not yourself as an individual. Now, it's quite rare for both criminal and civil proceedings to be brought for harassment. It is likely that if the police are planning to bring a prosecution, the civil court will stay any proceedings until the outcome of the criminal proceedings. It is possible to bring a private prosecution as an alternative.
Yes, we've got a podcast on private criminal prosecutions. But I mean, I'm looking at Joe Bloggs, people out there who are going through these issues, say, what can I do? You can go to the police, you can report it to the police, they can bring, the police bring criminal proceedings only. The police cannot bring civil proceedings. Civil proceedings can be brought by you, and what Melissa is explaining, that it can be complicated because the county court can only hear certain types of civil proceedings when we're talking about harassment, i.e. if it's only segregated to online, then the county court is not going to be the place for it. And I don't think people are trying to think of what court do I need to go to for today's purposes. I think it's what can I do? What are the options? Because what we are going to go on to speak about.
I raise it because some of those people issue in the county court and then they're surprised when they're transferred to the high court.
Yes.
So it's important people understand that, you know, where you have cases where Article 10 or privacy issues arise, many county courts will not want to deal with it. So you have to really think about in advance because
without sounding silly, I would say that you need legal advice and legal assistance to go down that road. I don't think a layperson should actually go and say, I'm going to now issue proceedings in a county court or criminal proceedings without legal assistance to do that. I do think at this level, it has to be something that you go and seek. You know, if this is the road you want to go down, if the police are not doing anything about it or haven't got the resources to do anything about it and things like that. I mean, I do want to cover other questions because it's such a big area of law, isn't it, Melissa? I mean, there's so much we can probably just talk about the first two points and that's it. But I really want to move on to the other areas because I want to try and cover the last bit of this podcast, which is going to talk about the new online harms bill. But before we go on to that, we mention taking down and reporting, and basically we're saying go to the platform, ask for them to take the post down, report it to the police, report it to the platform. But what if the social media platform or the owns, you know, that these messages are being put on, what if they don't take it down, but you know, what do you do then?
Well, let's just go back to sort of taking it down. So usually notice and takedown is considered before commencing civil proceedings to see if you can do it without, you know, going down that route, and you can do that yourself. So social media sites such as Facebook or YouTube, they do have systems for removing content that has been posted to their sites. Now, where we use the terminology notice and takedown, we are usually referring to a request to remove material that infringes on a person's civil rights, such as those causes of action I mentioned earlier. And the platforms also have procedures to remove content that breaches copyright. So the platforms usually have both terms of service and additionally their own community standards. So for example, Facebook will remove content that is unlawful, discriminatory or fraudulent under its terms of service, and under its community standards requirements, it will take down content such as nudity, hate speech, and content that is bullying or harassing someone. The definitions that the platforms follow are not necessarily the same as that in a civil claim. So harassment, according to Facebook, will be conduct that falls within the definition they give in their community standards policy, not the definition in the Protection from Harassment Act, although there may be some overlap. So it can be easier to remove content this way rather than a civil claim. But bear in mind that the platforms are very alive to their function in society as a conduit for freedom of speech. So this balance will be evaluated in any request made to them. If you have already succeeded in a civil claim and have an injunction order in place, then you can simply provide a copy of this injunction to the social platform or to any third-party publisher, and they will be legally obliged to comply with that order and remove the content, which is that's what the benefit of bringing a civil claim can be. And also the way that freedom of expression, freedom of speech is evaluated in the civil courts will be far more towards the European approach than the US approach, because US platforms, generally, their approach to freedom of speech in America is very different from Europe. We're much more pro-privacy here than the laws are in the US. And there can also be certain categories of information that a platform will remove automatically because they are considered private information. So, for example, Twitter will remove posts that publish a person's address or identifying information like a national insurance number or a passport. Now, if the content is not on one of these, you know, very big social platforms, but an internet forum or message board, it can be more difficult unless they're moderated, and you should contact the site administrator to try to get that removed.
So, slow down. Yeah. Because I want to keep it as simple as we can. We're saying, before rushing off to get legal advice and legal help to take this matter, first of all, police is the first place to go and report anything. Keep evidence of what you have, report it to the police. If it's continuing while the police are investigating or the police are not doing anything or not doing anything quick enough, then the second thing is obviously at the same time to approach the platform and ask them, report it as abuse towards you or whoever it is towards. Yes. Report
it. Very quickly, make sure you take a screenshot.
Yes, of course.
If they've then removed it and the police want it, you've then had it removed. So make sure you have a screenshot of the content.
Absolutely. And request that the platform removes it and report the person to the platform. Because I have seen on some social media sites where you can report whoever's posting whatever they're posting. And then failing all of that, so if the police have not been able to help, the platforms were sort of being a bit wishy-washy, then you can take legal advice on whether there is a civil claim or a private criminal prosecution that you can bring. And I say take legal advice because as Melissa's quite nicely pointing out, there's so many reasons where and how it needs to be issued as a claim and in what form and in what court and things like that. And what you don't want to get caught up in is running ahead and trying to issue something or issuing something and it's not the appropriate court or you haven't issued the right claim and things like that. And, you know, it does get expensive very, very quickly. But let's talk about, because we've now just got enough time to talk about, the new milestone online harms bill, new legislation. And I tell you, This is music to my ears, Melissa. So what is the government doing about this? What is that all about? We obviously have heard about it in her speech on 11th of May 2021. The Queen said that the bill will now allow the UK to lead the way in ensuring internet safety for all, especially children. Let's talk about what this new legislation is. It in place? When is it coming in place? What's it going to do? Let's spill the beans.
Now, the issue of harmful content online has been a particular concern to the government. I would say, just to dampen too much excitement, is that it's not going to solve entirely the issue. I will discuss it first, and then we can talk at the end why there's still going to be problems. Now, the government has published an online safety bill a few weeks ago. It will impose duties of care on providers of digital services to make them responsible for illegal and harmful content that is generated and shared by users of their service. So, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the smaller platforms.
So the aim is to help protect people and clamp down on racist abuse online whilst safeguarding freedom of expression.
Yes, but the aim actually, it's not... The way it's going to regulate it is that the platforms will be required to identify and assess the risks that arise from the posting of illegal content, particularly if it is harmful to children. So this is a reaction to the problems with content that encourages self-harm, eating disorders, suicide, and types of content such as that related to terrorism and sexual exploitation of children and adults, and you know, user-generated scams, false romances, fraudulent investment schemes, the list goes on. So providers of user-to-user online services will be obliged to design systems and apply operational processes that minimize the presence of such content and remove it once they are aware of it. They will have to establish mechanisms for people to report content in an easy and transparent way and regularly review their compliance. So large companies that provide these services, they're labeled category one services, so this will be, you know, Facebook, etc., will have additional obligations. And this will include assessing and mitigating the risk of content that is legal but still harmful. So you have, you know, harmful content and illegal content. Illegal content, and this is important, is not defined in the bill as content that gives rise to civil liability, only criminal liability. So it doesn't stop content that might be defamatory or a misuse of private information or harassment as defined, unless it's, you know, criminal harassment. The duty of care that the proposed law will impose relates only to the design and operation of the service they offer, not to specific content of posts. And there is this obligation to ensure freedom of speech.
Right. Well, all this is going to be far too confusing for the average person to understand, honest to God. So what we're saying is this bill is to protect a certain element of it going on and will help us to a certain degree, but it's not going to cover everything that we think it will cover. When you hear the term online harms bill, new legislation, you get super excited. I mean, I've read that Ofcom will be given more power to fine companies failing in a new duty of care up to £18 million or 10% of their global turnover. And I'm thinking, well, that's got to do with the fact that if a platform allows for abuse, harassment and all the nasty things to take place on their platform, then surely that's got to equal them being either responsible for doing it or fined for doing it if they don't take responsibility, in very layman's simple terms.
But they have to have a system that deals with it. That is what this is saying. Now, if they have a system of reporting, which they already do, and that does it within 24 hours, you know, they can be fined if they persistently fail to remove that content that's covered by the Act. But if that content that they deem not to be harassing because it falls within freedom of speech or is nasty but not, you know, unreasonable and oppressive under the definition of protection of from harassment, then as an individual, you can't go to Ofcom and say, you know, they didn't remove the content, so they're in breach of this. It won't work that way. It won't give individuals a statutory right of action against them. So I would say that whilst it's a step in the right direction, in that it will oblige the platforms to consider how, for example, their algorithms contribute to the proliferation of harmful content, it doesn't give individuals a statutory right of action against the platforms. It enhances what the platforms have to do.
Their responsibility. It enhances the platform's responsibility, but it doesn't automatically say everything that they may not take responsibility for will automatically fall into either the civil or the criminal court for you know, to warrant a claim against the platform, is what we're saying.
Well, you can't bring a claim against a platform for failure to do it. You can report them to Ofcom and they'd be fined if they have. But it does mean that there is more regulation. I mean, the big platforms have already done a lot of this stuff, but the smaller platforms will also be obliged to introduce moderation and systems for reporting content. So it's a step in the right direction. Most importantly, it helps in the proliferation of it, because those posts that are particularly horrible, you know, and particularly nasty, human nature seems to suggest that everyone wants to read, and so they forward it and share it, and it becomes viral, and then it's much more difficult to try to take it down and stop it getting copied. And so this can help in that sense, that you can argue that, well, the platform's actual algorithm system is exacerbating the problem, and so they need to deal with that. So that can help. But in general terms, it isn't going to help, I think, particularly the individual person from harassing content. Now, in addition to the notice and takedown, which you can go through the platforms, and which will be enhanced when the new law comes into force, you can make a delisting request, which I mentioned earlier. I don't know how to do. We have time to quickly go through
it. We have got 2 minutes.
Oh my goodness, I'll have to speak a little fast. So I'm sure most of your listeners perhaps have heard of what is called search engine optimization, that puts certain websites at the top of a list of a search engine result when an individual puts in their name. And the intention of search engine optimization is for popular websites that are clicked on more often, to appear at the top of the list. However, harassers often use a so-called black hat enhancing techniques that trick the system so that sites that are not genuinely of interest appear at the top of the list. Or it may be that the person doesn't have much on the internet about them, so they put on this horrible website or whatever, and it puts you to the top when you're Googled. So it is now possible, since a judgment in the Court of the Justice of the European Union, to make a request to Google called a right to be forgotten request, or a delisting request. And this means that you can ask Google for your name to be delinked from the particular search result. It doesn't delete the original content from that website. It doesn't shut down that website. But it makes it much more difficult for people to find it when they're looking you
up. So, or it doesn't come up when people put your name in. Then if they do delist it, if Google do take those steps, then that horrible element and whichever website or platform it is on doesn't pop up to the top.
And they remove about, you know, just over half. So, you know, it can be successful. And if you've tried, you know, other options, that is a free option. You can do it on the Google website. I would say that when you make a takedown request, when you're making a delisting request, really bear in mind that what you may think is harassing and awful, and it probably is, the platforms will be looking at freedom of speech and the rights of the user to be able to post this material. So you do need to look at the community standards, the terms of service, and really think about, you know, how you're going to put your case, and think of it as that. You are putting a case to the platform, and you may not be in a court of law, for it to be removed, balancing against the other person's rights as well. You're more likely to succeed if you're able to do that than if you just write and say, this is, you know, I think this is abusive, take it down. You're more likely to succeed.
Melissa, thank you so much. That's such sound and good advice and conversation. And I hope that it wasn't too legally technical for our listeners. I hope that, you know, people were able to, you know, take away some key points from it. I know that it's not really getting us, I don't think, on this topic to where we need to be. But I go back to what I said at the very beginning. I just think technology is moving too fast and too far in order for the law to really be up to speed with it, with the technology that the law enforcement needs, together with, you know, having the rules and regulations in place. And I just want to say, there's just such a fine line between saying that should be freedom of speech and actually that's just offensive, it's harmful to somebody, and therefore it shouldn't exist. In my mind, I keep it very simple. If something upsets somebody, it's offensive. That's it. Full stop. And I just don't think there should be any argument over whether there should be a freedom of speech over it, because if it's offensive to somebody, it shouldn't exist.
The problem is, though, Hattie, is that you'll have people who get upset about transgender rights, or people that
have
religious perspectives on homosexuality.
Yes, so no, I hear you.
That approach, it means that a lot of content will be removed that gives people who are marginalised an ability to discuss, you know, how they live their lives and their rights. So I agree with you that much content,
I'm talking about when it's directed at somebody, you know, if it's when people are actually being abusive to a person. That's what I'm talking, you know, about. But, you know, I hear you. There are crossovers, but I think the majority of it needs to be wiped out. I really do, because anything that offends anybody shouldn't exist. I know there's lots of people to consider, lots of opinions, lots of things. But if somebody says that's really offensive and really, you know, I feel it's a form of abuse, it's upsetting me, and this person just isn't stopping. You know, you mentioned earlier, there's people that turn up to court with hundreds and hundreds of posts that have been made against them, and they still sometimes don't succeed in court. And I don't know, I struggle with that, is what I was saying, Melissa.
I think we all do, Hattie.
Yes, but thank you ever so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. And so does all of our listeners, Melissa.
Thank you.
What I'll say to our listeners is, don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcast. And you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening.